Hi, and welcome to another edition of Interviews with the Masters. This week, we're going to be talking with a Wyoming hunting legend, good friend of mine, Bill DeShaw. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, John?
Good, good. We're actually recording this one from the field. So if it sounds a little shaky, because both Bill and I are doing what we do. We're both out working out in the field here. So we're gonna go in and talk about some of the questions that we got from the Ask the Pros section of the Hunting Channel in over the last couple of months. And but before we do that, I want to get you guys acclimated with who Bill is. Bill, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization?
Yeah, you bet, John. We've been guiding hunters and fishermen professionally since about 1979. And, you know, as far as my hunting business, I've always tried to hunt the best areas I can find, and I'm always researching areas, you know, that might offer my clients some real exceptional hunting.
That's really important. I know personally Bill's a hardworking man. You know, he's always looking for that edge mm-hmm. to get everybody the hunt that they want and the hunt that they pay for. So how'd you get started in hunting?
Well, you know, I was lucky enough to grow up in a family that hunted a lot. And you know, I guess I took it seriously enough that the evolution to professional hunting was kind of a natural progression for me.
That's great. Much like myself, I grew up with you know, dad and uncles and stuff that hunted, and it was it just seemed like the next logical step. So I feel where you're coming from.
You bet.
So basically, the questions that I have for you all come from the Ask the Pros sections of the Hunting Channel. This is where our members can log in and ask a question about hunting, and we find within our group of professional hunters, our panel of pros, that the best person to answer those questions. And so we got some questions directed towards you here and your style of hunting and where you hunt. You get a lot of questions about mule deer hunting. So, and by the way, I'm going to be hunting with Bill here this coming September for Muley. So hopefully we'll have some pictures to show you guys. Now, most of these guys are whitetail hunters, you know, because whitetail is probably the most successful animal to anybody in North America. So,
sure.
They try to relate their experiences to what mule deer is. So, the question is, you know, how does a buck's core area change from early season to late?
Well, you know, as far as we're concerned, I mean, what happens out here is, you know, variables like hunting pressure will cause mule deer bucks to change their areas. And, you know, I found feeding habits within a given area will change as well. And I think that the weather also plays a factor. It'll cause deer to move from summer, early fall habitat to more late season wintering ground areas. And, of course, this is real typical of high country to lower elevation migration because, you know, they're definitely driven by their ability to forage more easily. That's what I've found.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a lot different than, well, even whitetail out west kind of, you know, are less similar to eastern whitetail and Midwest whitetail.
Definitely.
The muleys typically, you know, and I find being out here in Arizona, I don't have this as much except for up in the high elevations. But like where you're at in Wyoming and South Dakotas and your Colorados and stuff like that, there's just no feed for them up high anymore, you know, in their summer grounds where they're, you know, and they just have to come down in elevation to find food. Weather is a big factor. Well, you don't have that in the East Coast or whatever, Midwest, where, you know, you have all these ag fields and so on and so forth. So,
right.
That makes a whole lot of sense that they're just following the food.
Yep.
Another question we had. Oh, were you going to say something else? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead, John.
Okay. What things should whitetail hunters know about muleys that are different to help them score a buck?
I found that the big difference between whitetail and mule deer is that, of course, even though, you say like whitetail range a little bit farther out here, but still, compared to mule deer, there's no comparison because mule deer, they'll range a lot farther for their food and water source than whitetails typically will, even out here. And mule deer, they'll also migrate like we already discussed. In some situations, mule deer will inhabit a small area and they'll just move real short distances, just like a whitetail. It happens sometimes. But typically, they'll inhabit a large and more open area, as a rule. That's just how they are. It's kind of just the species they be,
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit to their detriment, I think. I think that's why whitetail populations are exploding and muleys are not. It's just they're not adapting. Like I find that the whitetail, even out here out west, they seem to be, they adapt to human invasion and or encroachment, I should say, better than muleys do. I think they're
I think so too. Yep.
and but knowing that they they see big open areas, and when we say open, I don't think we necessarily mean plains or without trees, but I think it's just away from secluded areas where I think whitetail, you can find a whitetail living in your backyard.
Yep, you bet.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever experienced, at least not here in Arizona, and not many places that I've hunted, do the mule deer actually like live really close to homes, where that's completely opposite for whitetail. So,
Right, you bet.
the question we had, what type of sign should I be looking for to find bucks?
Okay. Well, I'd say that typically during the early season, I think it's more of a habitat hunt. You're kind of looking for, 'cause you kind of the deer are kind of in their natural movement, And I like to look for, big canyon areas, and maybe even smaller secluded draws that they'll have partially open ridges, side hills, some cover. They're good feeding areas and they're also great bedding areas. Also, like we were talking about, the mule deer before that might inhabit a smaller area. If you can find areas like this same I'm talking about with the big canyons and the smaller draws, located above real prime feeding areas like hay fields or other cropland, because that's where mule deer come in, where they're kind of like whitetail. They'll come in on a hay field or crops or whatever, and they'll feed just like a whitetail, sometimes with a whitetail. And
Right.
so it's really a good thing to look for, and sometimes you can really score a nice buck that way, if you can get in above a good area like that. And during the rut, all you got to do is find deer sign, because if you find a doe, you're in business. You're going to find some bucks and probably some nice ones.
Nice. Well, what time of year do they typically rut over there?
During November, typically.
November. Okay, so it's much
Yeah.
like the whitetail across North America. Okay.
Pretty much. Yep, pretty
I
much
know
the same.
out here they don't rut till January, so it's
Yep.
sometimes not even till February when season's over.
Huh.
Kind of frustrating. But brings us actually we have a kind of a question that's related to it. And hunting in early season, or excuse me, is hunting in her early season as productive as the rut or late season hunting?
Yeah, early season hunting, like during bow season, it's just a great time to be out hunting. It's one of my favorite times of year. Deer are plentiful, all the game's plentiful, and none of it's spooked. Wyoming's really good that way. There's just nobody out there, and Because I mean, it's so far out in the middle of nowhere, even the jackrabbits pack their lunch. You know what I mean? And that's why it's also a really good time to hunt big bucks, because they're not spooked either. It's just nice. A really good time to be out, and you see them. And once the shooting starts, a lot of times the bigger bucks get a little harder to get on. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
So
right.
that's what makes early season hunting, is really good. I just love it. It's a good time to be out. It can be real successful.
That's good to know, because that's when I'm coming. So,
you bet.
What hunting gear is important for every hunter to bring when they come out to hunt these big Western muleys?
I typically bring, if you're an experienced hunter, you pretty much know what you need, but I'd say for me, good optics are really important. Good binoculars, good spot and scope. You kind of need that. It's big country, and you got to do a lot of spotting. And also, make sure you got your day pack. You got plenty of snacks in it and water to hydrate yourself with. Some survival gears is important. Make sure you got some waterproof matches and the like. But, other than that, it's pretty much, if you're a hunter, pretty much what you need. And that, out here, that stuff I just mentioned is pretty important. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think survival gear is important because the weather changes out here. I've had snow in June, and higher elevation hunts
absolutely.
And optics are king. Coming from
you bet
Arizona. I mean, if you don't have a fair pair of 15x56s, you're not going to see much.
Right.
I know. I like to add, optics on a tripod, I think, is a nice light tripod that you carry with you. And for me, I like to even carry a seat because I like to be as comfortable as possible. But, if you're going to be doing tons and tons of hiking, you might want to stay as light as possible as well. But it all depends on how many hours you have to put behind the glass before you find your first buck.
You betcha. I agree with you. John, I might mention one more thing on that. Is always also during early season, make sure that you even bring enough warm clothing, because you just never know when you might get that blizzard. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I just thought I'd throw that in. It's really important.
Yeah. Let's see. What things can hunters do to prepare his or herself for, spot and stalk type hunting that you found out west?
Yeah. There again, I'd use your optics a lot. Get used to them and get used to spot and detail with them. When you're hunting, you're looking for, kind of subtle things, like something just a little bit off color, or looks just a little out of place. Or maybe you're looking for like an antler sticking out of sagebrush or some buck brush or something, And also, if you are, hunting during the light of the moon or a full moon period, it's important to realize that all critters adjust their feeding patterns to the moon phases. I know I've talked to you about this, John, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And during the light of the moon period, there's a lot of times you won't see much feeding going on right at daylight. And this is because, right when the sun comes up. And this is because, more night feeding goes on at these times because there's more light, But long about mid-morning or even the middle of the day, a lot of feeding might occur, when you least expect it. And you got to kind of use your gut, too. If you see some other critters like, antelope, cows, or horses that are bedded down, the game you're hunting is probably also bedded down, too. And of course, the reverse is true. If they're up feeding, they're probably the game you're looking for is you might looking for them to be feeding too. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, but if everything's bedded up, the fish probably they're not going to bite either. And that's just the way it is. A lot of people don't realize it, but the moon's really a powerful thing, and we should never underestimate it. And if you learn how to use it, it's a powerful tool to use too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I plan my whole hunting season around the moon. So
you bet.
Opponent of that. I'm actually going to add something to your question here. And actually preparing yourself, I would learn to shoot at longer distances. I would practice shooting from sitting and shooting from kneeling position because, you know,
you bet.
Not tree stand hunting. You know, practice crawling into place and getting a shot off
yep.
from behind a boulder or behind a, you know, bush or something like that. And,
you know, you know what I always tell my hunters, John? I always tell them to use the to learn the NRA positions because they're really good. The kneeling, the sitting,
right.
Prone, and learn to take a sling wrap. You know, get that sling adjusted right so you can adjust it so you can get a, take a wrap with it really quick, and you can just get really solid. And it's a really good way to go.
Absolutely. You know, I always tell bow hunters, I always say practice for the situation.
You betcha.
Whatever yeah. thing you think you're going to encounter, that's the way you should be practicing all season long. So.
You betcha. And doesn't hurt to, you know, go to the gym, get in shape, you know, be in shape, best shape you can be, because that's
Absolutely.
Really important too.
Absolutely. Nothing worse than carrying around a 20, 30-pound pack all day and getting weak knees. And then by the time you see something, you're out of gas. So.
Yeah, that's right.
We get this question a lot. You know, a lot of whitetail hunters use calls and stuff you know, to lure bucks in. Would you try to do a call on Philly, or you know, why or why not would you do it, and when if you would?
You know, I have, but usually I don't. I don't use calls much when I'm hunting mule deer. I've grunted sometimes, used a grunt, you know, but with all the open country and the massive distances, it's just not required that much, you know. Just, but
right.
not with mule deer so much. It's not like whitetail hunting. It's a lot different. So,
yeah. I think the only call that I've ever used that works, you know, I've tried to rattle, I've tried to grunt and whatever, and never really
yeah.
was effective. Maybe here and there, you know, you get a young buck that's excited, and, you know, whatever.
Sure.
On a doe bleed or something like that. But I found that during the rut here, I can do locate, you know, a herd or whatever, and get in close and do a predator call, the does will come running in and the bucks will chase them.
Right.
But other than that, I haven't had any other success with any other calls. So I'm with you. I wouldn't pack a, you know, set of rattling antlers and, you know, grunt tube or anything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it's just not the distances involved. You're not just hunting as close as you are a whitetail. I guess that's the thing.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. And I think even if you were to stalk in closer and try to use a call to get them to come the rest of the way, you're probably better off not alerting them to a presence. So,
right.
Well, that was all the questions we had from Ask the Pros. I got some other questions for you. You know, where can our listeners find out about more about you?
Okay, John. Well, our website is at www.wyominghuntingoutfitter.com. You can, you know, get our information there. Tells all about us. Or you can call me at 406-596-1162, and I'll be just glad to talk hunting with you, with your listeners. And that's probably
Great.
The best way to get a hold of me.
Good deal. Can you tell us a little bit more about what a hunter can expect when they come to hunt with you?
You betcha. If any of your listeners hunt with us, you know, I just want them to know we'll do the best we can to get them into the game, and you got to be prepared to do some hiking too. You know, it's like I say, it's pretty rigorous, and be in shape, and you know, make sure you can shoot the longer distances and. That's probably pretty much what you can expect. So,
we like to, you know, give our listeners to the show a special offer. Is there any other, you know, any special offer or anything like that you can and make for our listeners?
You betcha. Yeah. If anybody hears this, you know, we'll sure. If you contact me, you know, I'll give you an extra 10% off our. Already prices, and they're pretty reasonable already, so, you know, it may give you a good deal.
Yeah, I got to say, actually, for the guy that's looking for a good hunt at a bargain price. I mean, Bill really puts together, a nice package for the working man. It's very affordable. Nowadays, you can't go mule deer hunting for less than, $5,000, $6,000 easy. And, you can do it for much, much less. And obviously now another 10% off, you're way ahead of the game. So, give Bill a call. He's a great hunter. And, like I said, makes it happen for the working man. Well, we're almost about out of time, but do you have any final words of wisdom you'd like to pass on to everybody who's listening to this call?
Well, again, I can't say this enough. Practice your shooting until it's just second nature. And you owe it to the game you're hunting, because we want to all be good conservationists, and we want to take care of the sport. And when it comes to your hunting, go slow and really look. You gotta watch, be aware of your surroundings. And like the old mountain men used to say up here, keep your nose in the wind and your eyes on the skyline. That's the best thing I could say.
That's a great little line. I'm about to remember that. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day, and get out there and start scouting for me, because I'm gonna put a big one down when I get out there.
There you
And
go. Hey, you bet.
I gotta go pull some stands right now. So, I appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we'll get a chance to. We'll talk to you again maybe before elk season here, and got some other questions we're going to throw your way probably for that. So
Good deal. Well,
thanks a
heck,
lot.
John, I'm glad to do it, and I'm looking forward to hunting with you, John.
All right. Take it easy, Bill.
You too.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.